CEOs and colleagues, you are welcome to the Kotfono Committee. We are ready and waiting for you. Can you take the platform?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good day to the Chairperson, the Honourable Members, and other colleagues. It is a great honour once again for us to be here to give a safe presentation on our APPs for the current year. At the outset, I want to convey my good wishes of the Chairperson of Council, Ms. Veronica, who is another urgent engagement today, but she has sent a replacement in Ms. Galen Dolls on my extreme left, is an executive member and a senior councillor representing the council and the chairperson. And then next to her we have Mr. Mapindari, the CFO, Mr. Tembranjlobo, who is our communications manager, and on my right is Nella Okarani, senior research manager. They will make short presentations after my introduction, and we will take questions, comments, and direction from you thereafter. Chairperson, we want to just give you a quick insight into our strategic overview. And as we know by now, that SACE is governed by the SACE Act number 31 of 2000, and we have a national policy framework on teacher education and development that we draw from April 2007, and also the Basic Laws Amendment Act. So these are the kind of legal basis on which the SACE works. We have had time now to focus more on teacher registration, and we have cut down on our backlogs of teacher registration significantly. The turnaround time also has been reduced from application landing in our offices to about 7 days. And we have changed our methodology for our foreign registrations as well, so that registrations can take place quickly. This year we are finalizing and focusing on online registration, and also we are now making sure that we begin to verify more and more qualifications of teachers, both the new teachers and the teachers that are already registered. Fortunately, we have good cooperation from the Departments of Education, and they are assisting us a lot now by sending us information about registration that they want rechecked, and we are doing that. Then, Chairperson, we have got about 700 cases on the average that we deal with annually. And the question keeps coming is, if the number of cases and complaints, are they getting more or are they getting less? And I must say to this committee that there is more transparency now. And it is our view that there is a drop in the number of violations of the Code of Ethics. But because of the transparency and because of advocacy, more complaints are now being sent to us that previously weren't coming to us. And there again, we need to thank the provincial departments, because there was a gap there in terms of the complaints that come to the department and which the departments have processed, which were not always coming to us. But now, because of our interactions with the heads of departments, committees, we find that that area is attended to, and the departments are now sending us all of the complaints that they have dealt with, where there was a sanction of, that was higher than a caution reprimand. Also, we are working with the departments to make sure that we don't deal with the same cases as far as possible. Once we are dealing with a case, we inform the departments now that's a new decision that we have taken, so that the departments can then decide whether they also would want to proceed with the case. And then when we get to a finding, we do send it to the departments. So our case management is getting far more streamlined. And hopefully, in the near future, there will be a categorization of cases that the department deals with and that SAIS deals with. It's a matter that council is applying its mind to. We have increased our advocacy to make sure that more and more teachers are engaging in professional development and sign in to the management system and taking up activities and programs that would lead to professional development points. The area of research is an area that we are growing in, and in the notes you would find that we have got the areas that we have identified, because I think the committee has in the past wanted to know what are the areas of our research, and we have written it down for you. We have teacher migration, professional registration of FET college lecturers, the question of demand and supply as to what states can do with it, and council now is busy trying to finalize professional development, professional standards and designations, so that hopefully by next year we would have agreed on the different kinds of registrations and the different requirements for the different levels of registrations. At the moment, the council is very busy in a consultative process, and maybe next year it will pronounce on the question of induction, when teachers enter the profession, provisional registration, and related issues. In terms of cooperation, Chair, I must indicate that we have really excellent working relationships with the departments of basic education and all our stakeholders. We are assured of their support, and we make sure that we respond to their directions as well. And we don't have any problem in that area. In terms of the organizational environment, we have a stable staff of close to about 100 persons now. We don't have many vacancies that are creating problems. And in terms of our budget, as the CFO will say a bit later, is that we are expecting 64 million rands in the year that is ahead of us. This year, when we come to the question of staffing matters as well, we are now busy with a policy on attrition and succession planning, and it is a matter that we will have to finalize, because states have not quite settled some of its staff rules. The legislative mandates that we work on, I think, are quite well known to the council, the committee, and one is that comes from the Basic Laws Amendment Act. The other is the one that comes from the Employment of Educators Act and the South African Council for Educators Act 2000. Of interest to point out to you before I hand over to the others is that SAIS now has the facility to request direct funding from the department, from the ministry, in terms of an amendment. And it is a matter that council will have to consider, because in terms of its budget, we will have to definitely increase our revenue stream so that we continue giving more than satisfactory performance in our main mandates, and also in terms of the expansion program that we have in mind. And before I close, I must emphasize that we take pains to make sure that our projections are in line with the National Development Plan and the department's vision for 2019 in terms of what the departments are doing, what and what the National Development Plan expects of SAIS, especially in respect of professional development of teachers, their suitability to teach. So we are geared up to do our work in a way that fits in with the NDP and fits in with the department's plans. And we must thank the Department of Basic Education, because they have been assisting us as well and offered us their assistance on a regular basis in terms of making sure that SAIS is going along the path that was envisaged for SAIS. So, Chair, with those few words, I want to quickly hand over to the CFO, who will just take us to some numbers in terms of our budget and point out one of the salient features for the coming year. Maurice, over to you.
Thank you, sir. I will refer to the next page, which is page 5, where we've got our MTF projections. I would like just to indicate that there is a slight decrease in terms of our projections for 2016-2017 compared to 2015-16, because of largely the membership fee, which in 2015-16 our projection was a bit higher, but based on the actuals of the 2015-16, we had to align, to reduce it down, because we could not achieve that amount. So membership will base it on the current educators in the system, taking into account those who are doing final years, and we project. So based on the previous figures, we could not achieve the amount which was projected for 2015-16. That's why you realize that our total revenue has decreased a bit, but it's not a huge figure. It's just a $1 million. In terms of our revenue, our main membership is the main source of funding, which is sitting at 10 rand per month per educator, which is about 120 per educator per annum. What you notice as well is that there is a slight decrease in terms of the budgeted figure on the military functions, due to the fact that our membership, our source of revenue has been increased, and inflation and fixed costs are hitting us hard. So then we're bound to reduce, instead of increasing our budget on the military function. However, the council has taken note of that issue, and they have scheduled the next council meeting, which is scheduled somewhere around July, to review its source of funding so as to ensure that the number of activities projected over the medium term framework are achieved, because in terms of the strategic plan, and you look at the current budget, you will see that state seems to be targeting to do more than the resources can afford. So the council has taken note of that. It has taken a discussion in November and March that there is work in progress now, which will lead to a decision taken in terms of stabilizing the revenue base. What the council is looking at is to align the continuous funding of council with the inflation, so as to avoid the situation where the council has to go back to the membership every time the council is not in a good financial position to say, no, can we fund? Because at some point we may not get the decision quick from the members. So the decisions which will be taken will be linked to inflation, so that it be determined internally in line with the inflation figures every year moving forward. In terms of the CBCD funding, we do have guaranteed amount of 9.3 million, which we're going to use for 2016-17. Registration fees still remain at 100 for foreigners, 200 for South Africans, and 50 rand for renewals. Also, these figures will be subjected for a review in the next council meeting. We have two existing provincial offices. However, in the medium term, we are planning to have all 8 provincial offices in operation. So for the two existing offices, its budgets are included in the budget above. That's why there is a breakdown on page 7, that the provincial budget for the two offices which are existing in group 11. So we did delay in terms of adding the number of offices because of what I've just mentioned earlier in terms of reviewing the funding, because there is money good amount required for the expansion of to the other provinces, as well as to give us chance now to do the assessment of the two offices in advance assistance, which will help us to, which will inform us in terms of how we move forward when we take in the remaining seats. Chair, that concludes my part of the MTF projections.
Thanks. Thank you, Morris. Chairperson, what we'll do now is I'll get the other two speakers to quickly give you a quick view into our mandatory functions. Mr. Lobo will take us through registration edits to highlight some stats and some progress that we want the committee to know, some challenges if there are, and then after that Ms. Mokalani will update us a bit more on research, professional development, policy and planning. Thank you. Kemba, take about 5-6 minutes.
Thank you very much, Chair. I want to bring the attention of the committee to pages 12 of our presentation, which talks to the statistics in terms of the projections for 2016-2017. We are looking at registering qualified teachers who will be 20,000 in this current financial year. We are looking at updating 40,000 documents, and in terms of updating, we're talking to those teachers who are normally presented with provisional registration, and they update their documents to normal registration. That is what we're looking at that figure of 40,000. And on verifying qualifications that teachers will be submitting to SAIS, which I will speak to a bit later, we are looking at both those that are newly coming in and those that will be updating their documents, that will have to do a lot of verification of those qualifications. One reason which leads us to talk to verifying intensely those qualifications is one element that we are picking up as a challenge, where we are getting a bit few of fraudulent qualifications that are coming through, and therefore the issue of verification becomes a very crucial kind of matter. Then on page 13 is the quarterly targets that we are anticipating to achieve in the current year 2015, 16 and 17. Chairperson, the CEO has spoken about some of the issues in relation to registration. One such issue that we would want to highlight for this meeting is that we are working hand in glove, actually, with the provincial departments of education, one, in terms of dealing with the question of verification of teachers that are in the employ. I can safely indicate that three provinces have been of great assistance up to so far, Limpopo province as one, where they have sent a huge list to SAIS, where they needed to verify the registration status of those teachers. In turn, SAIS is saying to the province, it's important that we also verify from our side, or your side, the question of the qualifications that those teachers are having. So the issue of verification of qualifications is becoming a priority to concern, and would be a priority in this financial year. We are continuously also registering foreign educators, and we're taking decisions as concern that instead of an annual one-year kind of registration for foreign educators, we need to link that up one way or the other to their work permits in the country, so that you don't have to cause the stress of coming back and back annually to the office to renew their registration. Chairperson, I must indicate that there are also one very key matter that council is currently looking at and discussing, which is on page 15, the question of the postgraduate certificate in education, which we are at this currently researching. We have received some communication from some of our stakeholders who are raising concerns basically about the postgraduate certificate qualification, which allows people to be teachers. And we are researching that position so that as we conclude our research, we will be able to respond positively to that kind. That is about registration. And Chair, we need to indicate that as we talk of verification of and validation of people that will be registering, say, on page 16, we are indicating some of the steps that we believe would be taking as counsel in terms of ensuring that the validation and verification of this qualification works in accordance with what we want to achieve. And also, more importantly, working with the Department of Social Development in relation to the Child Protection Register, so that we link up with them, so that every teacher that we register, every person that we vet, we need to check against the Child Protection Register, so that we don't have a situation where we register people who are listed on the register. And also, at the same time on our side, as I would speak to ethics, all the teachers that we find guilty, we start off wrong, we also make it the point that we submit their names to the Department of Social Development so that we get their name enlisted in the Child Protection Register. We have Jefferson. We must, however, indicate also that we still have a challenge of teachers that are in the service currently who are not registered in SAIS, and we want to appreciate the efforts of the provincial departments of education who are doing their best in ensuring that teachers do come through to register with SAIS. I know for a fact that the KZN Department of Education, the Northwest Department of Education, have come in handy in ensuring they conduct some audits of employees in their department who are not registered in SAIS, and that they would inform the teacher go to SAIS and get registered in Council. Legally, any teacher who wants to teach in the country has to be registered in Council. On ethics, Chairperson, we are indicating on page 19 in terms of our projections, in terms of our undertakings for the 2016-17. I must indicate that if you look at the first strategic objective there, which speaks to appraising a number of people on the Code of Professional Ethics, we have projected 20,000 people that will be appraising on the Code of Professional Ethics. I am registered in Chairperson, but that number may not be enough. But also, speaking just after the CFO has spoken, in terms of our resource base, we have no option but to look at what can we afford in order to meet our own objectives. So we are intending to reach out to our 20,000 educators in the country through whatever means, all kinds of means that we are planning, through distribution of material, through one-on-one sessions with some of the teachers, so that we are placed our educators on the Code of Professional Ethics. Like the CEO indicated, we are expecting to receive about 600 cases in the year 2016-17, and when we look at the 600 cases we are expected to receive, we are looking at the ones that were carried over from last year, which are 140. Basically, we are hoping to deal with 740 new cases in the year 2016-17, of which our plan is that 700 of those cases need to be finalized by the end of the financial year. We are indicating, Chairperson, that as part of our mandate of ensuring that our teachers live by the Code of Ethics, that our teachers get developed in understanding the Code of Professional Ethics, we would be trying by all means to deal with that objective of reaching out to the 20,000 educators. Also, Chairperson, we would be meeting or working with the provincial heads of departments. For one reason of working hand in hand with the heads of departments, we want to establish and find and facilitate relationships that would talk to how best do we handle misconduct cases, like the CEO indicated, which ones are best to be handled by the SAIS, which ones are best to be handled by the Department of Education, and at the same time also deal with the question of implementation of the sanctions by both the department and SAIS in terms of those teachers that would have been found guilty. We've spoken about the Department of Social Development, and we want to pronounce today that when we fully encourage prospective employers, provincial department, SGB, to say before they employ any teacher, it would be important for them to check with the SAIS website so that they're able to establish the professional standing of the person they want to employ. Because all teachers that have had problems in SAIS are listed on our website. When they click on the ID number of the teacher, prospective employers will be able to pick up whether the teacher is in good standing or not. Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Temba. Ella.
Thanks, Chair. I will be focusing firstly on the CCTV management system. I think just to pardon my voice, I've got a question. Does that reflect on what you've been implementing for the past 3 years? I think you can see from the slides that I've projected that by now we are in the third year of the first 3 years of the principals and the deputy principals participating in the CPT system, and by the end of the year we should be able to know how many of them, assistant principals and the deputy principals, have managed to go through the 3 year cycle successfully. Then your HODs, you can see the steps, but they are moving into their second year of their first 3 year cycle, and your good level one educators in secondary schools started the beginning of this year. So this year we are focusing on signing up your good level one educators in primary schools, but we are also paying special attention to educators all around in special education in schools, especially because we want to make sure that the materials that we have are suitable to their environment, because there are a lot of issues that they are doing differently from your mainstream schools. In terms of the providers and activities, as of now, we have 221 approved providers in our catalog, and I think you can see we don't have many NPS providers that are offering professional development in the system. And it's something that is worrying as a bit. We are doing more work to find out what are the challenges. In terms of the endorse activities, against the criteria that we're using for fitness for people with disabilities, we do have 1,881 since the last 3 years. And the three main provinces that are internal provincial education departments that are really working very closely with us at that meeting is your Gauteng in terms of meeting going with School of Leadership, Western Cape, the Korean Institute as well, and also Limpopo. Other provinces, we're still working hard to make sure that they submit so that educators can begin to advance from their activities. Now, for the new financial year, before that, I think that the next slide just giving you a snapshot of where we are as of 4 April in terms of all the areas, that the targets that we are working on with regard to the CPT system. I won't go through each of this. But for 16-17 financial year, as I've indicated that we are focusing on primary school and general education in schools, our target is 160,000 educators. But in addition to that, we are also focusing on student teachers. The last two quarters of the year is dedicated to their own orientation and also sign up. Last year, we left it to the last quarter of the year, and we couldn't be successful due to the transport challenges that we're facing around the country. The other area is the percentage around state-registered educators that are not signed up, which means those are the educators that are not participating in the CPT system. By virtue of the fact that they are not signed up, it means they are not participating. And we're looking at percentages, like around principals, we've got 8%, but in terms of the real figure, it is around 2,318 officers and deputy principals that we do need to follow up and see what the tenure was there. But again, especially with principals and deputy principals, what we're also picking up from provinces is that there are a number of schools that have been closed, your home schools that have been merged and all that. It might be a challenge, especially in Free State, in Mpumalanga and Limpopo. Those are the three provinces that we are following up. Just to verify that 2,300 number is not coming from those schools that have already been closed or merged in these provinces. But for HODs, it's around 11,000 and 57. That is out of 45,000 plus HODs. And your post level one educators, they are in the majority. It's around 38,000 of them. And again, the four provinces that are not doing well are Limpopo, Eastern Cape, KZN, and Northern Cape. Again, you can see these are the provinces that are continuing to have challenges within the system and are carrying a whole lot of educators. Just like with your metric exam, the analysis that was made that if those three provinces are not doing well, the entire
countries affected. Then the next area is a percentage of site architects who engage in three different kinds of educators of professional development. We are saying site architects is the one just technical exercise and making sure that we orientate them and prepare them for participation in 3 year cycle. I think the core of the CPD management is needs to make sure that we participate in those three different kinds of professional development. And that is why for us to be able to track progress accordingly, we decided to split up the three different areas so that we can be in a position to really understand if uptake is happening and who's providing professional development in the system. Why are more educators not participating in type 3, which is provider driven, employer driven, and focus more on type 1 and type 2? Which means it has got implications for the system to be looking at other options of training educators and not relying more on provincial education departments and other providers. In terms of the new providers that we want to approve, we are targeting 99. This is the completely new ones. And also in terms of the activities, we are looking at 245 new ones. We are saying that there's a need for us to do site visits for the providers that we've approved and also for the activities that we've endorsed, so that we can do some bit of quality assurance and see the quality in terms of what is submitted versus what they are offering on the ground. The next section is more around utilization of the CPD information system, because ideally all educators should be, the fact that they are lining up, the procedural pathway to access the CPD information system. We need to be tracking information in terms of how many of them are logging in, how many of them are reporting online, and to what extent are they engaging in their professional development portfolio online. This is also very important because I think as a system we are beginning to move towards integrating ICT into teaching and learning, but also integrating ICT into continued professional development. And these are some of the things that will begin to assist us and to get relevant data in terms of the extent to which educators will be able to be doing that. Okay. Yeah, that's CPT. The next one is on professional standards. And I think you should remember that we reported that in line with the NDP, it states us a responsibility to promote professional standards. We have a responsibility to be working towards, well, closely with other partners towards professional certification of educators. But linked to that, also in terms of the NPF Act, we need to be recognized as a professional counsel by SACPA, and one of the requirements for us to be recognized is to have professional designation for teachers. So this area is focusing on professional standards on the one hand, but also the development of professional designation on the other. Currently, we started with implementing the program. We've done research, enough research with Guatemala that council approved, that we are going throughout the country consulting widely to the nine provincial education departments, to the national department, to, you know, absolutely everyone, so that when we implement the model, we don't get challenges in terms of people not being satisfied with it. So for this current financial year, we are very close towards establishing the standard writing team, so that we have focus on the professional practice standards which are missing within the profession. I know the department has worked on standards for principalship, but this will be focused more on the professional practice so that they can be efficient to do what it's supposed to be doing, which is missing in the system. So we should be having, by the end of this current financial year, draft professional standards completed for consultation and public comments. Hopefully, and also guaranteeing towards the end of the financial year. The other issues around designation that I've already indicated, we are looking at having designation for teachers, of the ordinary course level 1 teachers, but also designation for the school management teams. Again, Our target for 16-17 is to help those designations consultation processes so that they can be finalized and be registered on the NCAP, like it's required by the NCAP. That one is on policy and research. I think I'm not going to talk too much about this one because it already the CEO has indicated that it was budget challenge, and it's one of the programs that have been affected in terms of your 50% budget reduction. So this is all that we can do in terms of five different research areas, and also having out of those research areas at least two policy briefs to advise the minister accordingly. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. Ms. Bowles, is there anything you want to add before I hand over to Chair?
Thank you. Just from the council side, the council is really working hard, particularly in 2015. We took a lot of consultation within the different working committees within the council. And I have to say there's a lot of expertise that we've been able to tap into. Remember, we want to see that SOAP can meet its mandate, and that our scope doesn't become too wide, that we actually can't, we end up not being able to deliver. So during the particularly second half of last year and into the beginning of this year, all the different working committees have had workshops where we're able then to find the gaps. Where do we need to tighten policy? Where do we need to change procedures so that we can make informed decisions going forward? And I must say the attendance has been good, the reporting has been good, and it's leading council to have a look now. And sometimes we sometimes maybe slow up the office a little because we want to be cautious in making those decisions. We want the research. When we're going to open more provincial offices, we research rather what's happened currently. Are we in the position to do it? What's happening with TEDx? What is the better way to do it? So I think from our side, we sometimes do hold back, but we want to be cautious because we want states to fit the mandate as best as can. And I need to record my thanks to the office often for clearing out all the things that, you know, had to happen. And I know we do frustrate them at times, but we've got to be accountable. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bowles. Thank you, Chair. Over to you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I will now open the presentation for discussion. Members can raise questions, comments on the presentation. Can you do that by show of hands? Honorable Majake, Honorable Kosa, Bason, Kosa, and Kosho. In that one. Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the members who did the presentation, and thank you very much for the work. My first comment is your judgment. Next time, please, the people who are doing it, the pages are very confused, and the statement is, it is making it not interesting to read, because it's very frustrating. That's why we really appreciate your cutting down on the backlog of the legislation. Nevertheless, we do have concerns. Maybe I'm not sure whether this is for you or for the Department of Basic Education. Parents do complain about, I would say, maybe the information of the foreign teachers who are teaching mathematics at school. Somehow, our children don't understand them. Maybe we'll see a drop and failure in mathematics because our children don't understand them. Yes, English is not our language, it's a foreign language, but you can hear me when I'm talking. Sometimes it's difficult for ourselves to hear the foreign people when they're talking. Maybe they have to repeat two times, now you can imagine, for a school child who is scared of the teacher. So if you look into that, so that we make sure we don't compromise our children on the education, especially the mathematics. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
So also lastly, I was thinking it's appropriate, yes, not to give the free people 1 year, it is quite some time to keep on coming. But don't you think to stretch the immediate 5 years is too far? How about looking into 3 years and then review? Because if there's a problem between 1 and 5 years, I think it's something that you can look into. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to welcome the presentation. But my first issue to raise, I'm not sure, I just assume it's page 6 on detailed operational expenditure. I want to be clarified or to be assisted on that figure there. I'm seeing that the box and the trend outside the box. I don't know if you are on the same page. Yes. On reserve fund. Can we be assisted there? And with regard to financial management, are you having mechanism to ensure that you improve the capacity of management? One other issue I wanted to check on page, it's not a page, it's 5.2, that is a new page number. The program performance indicator. I wanted to check if you indicated that there is a percentage of educators who have not yet signed with CPE. I wanted to know if it is voluntary or compulsory to do the signing. Because I'm saying that those are people who did not sign, and maybe is it because you haven't yet completed your program? I don't know as to what made them not to sign. And lastly, I just want to check with you as to how many now provinces have offices, and what is the time frame for the remaining provinces to have their own offices.
Thank you. Thank you,
Chairperson. I also echo to thank the presentation that at least they have improved to help people. I really thank you for that. Except the complaint of the paging and stapling and numbering of the we were struggling really to shift the pages already. Thank you, Chairperson. Just shortly. I don't know. I would like to know, CEO, is it possible for you to be able to give us the number of the backlog of unresolved cases or outstanding cases that are resolved one every year? And just to quantify. Secondly, on this foreign teachers, just to top up the question that has been asked by Honorable Majek on the difficulty that we, the learners, are having outside here, on their vetting and verifications of their certificates. Are they all screened before they are employed, or you screen them after they are employed? And is it possible for you to locate where are these teachers placed in our system so that you can do the follow-up? And because they really, it is a problem. And on this vetting and screening, I would like to see the educators that are teaching our learners with special needs also being vetted and screened, because we have noticed that sometimes just a person who is granted to get the post is being appointed to go and teach, whereas there is no, he has no necessary skills. On Fundamu Shaka, yes, I know the monitoring and support is for the DPE, but do you induct these learners? You know, we say they are postgraduates, they are more theoretical than practical. Do we assist them by inducting them to be able to cope with the conditions of now being practical in the ground? Because we often get the complaints from the schools that these teachers come out without being properly trained. Also on these cases of bedrooms, is there any website where we or one can or a school can be able to access or to see whether the teacher that we are appointed is not a teacher that is migrating from one province to another, running away of the key followers, what is felt previously there. We are speaking about a child protection. And how far does this child protection, is it only on public schools? What about private schools? What about SGPOs? How do we assist the parents to not to get in a trap whereby you send a child to a school where the educators are not properly qualified?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. On page 22, there is a good intention of the plans to meet all the 9 provincial heads of departments. If perhaps one is to get a time frame, when do you plan to meet with all the 9 provincial heads of departments to facilitate the working relations? Then can I also be helped in terms of understanding the membership, the registration fee and the membership fee? Because there is a 120 rand membership fee and a registration fee of 200 rand. So if I can be assisted in terms of that. Then lastly, on the issue of vetting of the current educators that are in the system, I want to say that if you get that the qualifications are fraudulent, what kind of punishment? Is there any criminal case that is being opened for the educators who possess the fraudulent qualifications? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I may, the memo of understanding with SAQA and the DBE, is this working properly? Has it assisted in decreasing the fraudulent applications? And what plans are in place to check that SAQA gives the correct information? Then I'm still very, very concerned about the vetting process. What measures are in place that every case is reported? Because we know many cases that are chatting to the provinces just never reach SACE, because we've been led to believe that when a sexual misconduct is reported to provinces, there's an agreement between the parents and the accused, inverted commas, educator, and it's invariably swept under the carpet. We need to have a look at this. And then the criminal charges for sexual offenders is in place now. And then I see you are now on par with regard to working with the Department of Social Development. But are you working with the Department of Justice as well? In 2015, your vetting target was 50,000. Did you reach it? And at what cost? And you said that you had problems with the existing educators. It was easy to vet the new application. So what processes have been put in place to ensure that the existing educators are vetted? And then the verification of the organizations do the vetting. Is that in place? Because you've got agreements with certain organizations. You say that your turnaround period for the registration of educators is 7 days. We have many people coming to us complaining about this, and we then write to you, then we get a response and the vetting of the registration is done. Could we ensure that people do not have to contact us to ensure that it is done? Your electronic registration and payments, is it successful? How many online registrations and payments have you had? And then on page 8 you speak about the increase of MEM subscriptions. We speak about this every year. Now you want to increase it to the detriment of our educators. Had you done this previously, you wouldn't have had to have a 50% increase. And then Chair, sorry, I just need to, as you say, it's difficult getting to these pages. If we go to page, it's not marked. 5.2 program performance, 160,000 PL1 educators in primary and special education needs schools. What about the principals and the deputies and the HODs for special needs schools? Are they also going to get the necessary training? And then on the same page, percentage of SACE registered educators not signed up for the CPT system. What about the unregistered educators? How are you going to follow up on that? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Bishop. Thank you very much, CEO, and your colleagues for the presentation. I want to also join other members to welcome their input and appreciate the effort that you have made to make sure that you clean your presentation and avoid a lot of loopholes. We want to appreciate the fact that you have introduced the issue of, you have prioritized the issue of ICT and even the plan to introduce online registration is welcomed. But the question that I want to ask with regard to that is whether schools will be directly connected to this in order to facilitate easier ways of verification of teachers as they employ them. The other point that I think I want to talk to the introduction of professional standards, I think is also a good effort on your part to strengthen regulation of the teaching profession. I just wanted to check how prepared, how ready are you to start on this task? And then in terms of the budget, how much are you planning to spend on expediting this process? The other point relates to the issue of research. I still believe that SAFE has got a potential to do more than it has given us on the plate in terms of the focus areas for research, because I think that your role in terms of influencing what is happening in the department is very important, and it needs space to try and reposition itself and attract the relevant expertise that will be able to position it to be able to execute the function much more better. I just want to check what strategy do you have in terms of making sure that you effectively implement that works of research. The other point, just a minute, would relate to the issue of the budget. The Minister of Finance has introduced budget tightening and cost containment in his budget early this year. I just want to check how far have you taken that into consideration when you drafted your budget, and whether what you have will be sufficient for you to be able to implement your core mandate. Thank you.
Thank you, Shane. Let's start on Utla, and then we go down, and then I'll take the remaining questions. Thank you, Shane.
Thanks, Professor. Let me start with the issue of research that you've raised. I think you would have seen from the APP that the allocation is very minimal. It's half a million, it's 500,000, and if you know research, with 500,000, you can't even do two projects. So that's the first challenge that we have. But secondly, if we have to do something for now, it means we're going to have to rely on partnering with other institutions. And that is not guaranteed as well. So we see similar challenges around that area, and I agree with you, it's very important, especially because we are moving into issues of teacher professionalization, and it would need more resources to be able to do more research to inform the work that we are doing to get more data and all that. But secondly, the issue of professional standards again is affected by the budget. If you go to the APP and check how much it's allocated, it's still the same. It's around half a million. We'll just have to do what we can in terms of setting the teams and beginning to do the writing, but we need a whole lot of technical expertise to be able to, and research like you indicated, to feed into the entire process. But I think after July we'll be discussing those issues and see what it is that we can prioritize going forward. The issue raised by Honorable Basson with regards to the registered educators who are participating in the CPTV system. Ideally, the manner in which the CPTV system or an information system is, teachers are not able to access it unless they are registered. And in one way or another, we are compelling them to register. So for now, we are tracking those that are in the database. But we are working closely with the provincial education departments in terms of their permits and other databases, just to know how many educators do we have and be able to track against those. But we'll be able to check that in the provinces again. Then the other issue was induction is the responsibility of the employers. We don't have jurisdiction over that particular area. But we are working through the teacher professionalization program that's focusing on standards as well. There's also an issue on induction, which we are working closely with branch team in the Department of Basic Education to make sure that we deal with the entire teacher education and development continuum. Like I've indicated, from entry into initial teacher education, within teacher education, initial teacher education, induction, full registration, then continue professional development. We are giving it attention in terms of that level of us coming up with standards. But the actual implementation lies with the provincial education department and the other employers in terms of SGDs and independent schools. So I think the department can be in a position to answer whether those educators are being elected.
And the question of is it voluntary or compulsory to sign? And then the other one is there's 160,000 PL1 What about the principals and deputy principals?
In special schools? Okay. We dealt with all the principals from 2013, all of them, irrespective of whether they were in primary, secondary, or special schools. It's only the first level one in teachers that we are categorizing in terms of secondary school, primary, and also special education needs. Those principals, the majority of them have been covered already.
Voluntary.
The CPCD system is not voluntary. I think that just like any other process of implementing a new policy, you still have few people that are lagging behind. And one of the biggest challenges that we've identified, Honorable Kosa, is the issue of lack of consequences for not participating. And the whole process of teacher professionalization is beginning to bring in the linkages between registration of educators and CPCD system and re-registration. So that you go through the 3 years cycle of CPCD system, at the end, you need to, we will give you a certificate for completing the cycle, but at the same time, they reissue your new registration. If you are not registered or you haven't completed your 3 year cycle, then you won't be in a position to have your registration renewed. It's a process that I'm thinking we are busy consulting on is the entire package of teacher professionalization. Because that's the biggest issue of lack of consequences. And educators want to do something because, especially teacher development, whether are there any incentives linked to it? If not, are there any consequences? If not, one of they say that why bother? So, yeah.
Thank you. Tema, over to you. Just spend a few more minutes on clarifying some details regarding vetting and verification. There have been a number of questions around that. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks very much, you all. I think the first question was relating to the question of verifying qualifications of foreign educators in relation to mathematics in particular. And I need to clarify, Jefferson, that in a fact, when teachers come to register with SAIS, we demand of foreign educators to provide us with the SAQA evaluation certificate. And it is SAQA that evaluates the qualifications of that teacher. But the concern is quite noted, and it's important that we need to take appropriately in our engagements with the Provincial Education Department or the Department of Education to say we have to re-evaluate the question of employment of foreign educators with specific reference to the challenges of language and so on, which is to the detriment of the other to our learners. I think it's a matter that we can proceed going forward to engage with our stakeholders in attending to. Chairperson, the issue of extension for foreign educators is quite true that 5 years may look too far. That is why we were saying up to the maximum of 5 years. But currently we are dealing with almost a 3 year kind of extension, but noting the fact that some of them are here and the work permit allows them to be here up to a maximum of 5 years. That's why we're putting 5 years as a maximum, but not necessarily meaning that we only keep blanket registration up to 5 years. The question of screening of educators, foreign educators with special needs, educators basically before they are appointed as teachers. We are saying in terms of our SAIS Act, before a teacher is employed, the teacher needs to be registered in SAIS. Two things that we are doing with foreign educators in particular. One, for any foreign educator to be registered in SAIS, we need the sub-original SAQA evaluation certificate. The second thing that we have introduced is that all foreign educators before registering SAIS need to provide us with a police clearance that declares them to be fit and proper to work with teachers. So that as we do the other part of verifying with the child protection register, but already we have from the police a clearance that says this person can with us. So we are trying to look at that kind of issue in terms of screening foreign educators that get registered with the country. With the emphasis, Chairperson, like I said, before any person gets employed, the person must be registered in place. And therefore, hopefully, before departments or SGBs or independent schools employ any teacher, which responds to the other question that says, are they having access to our website? We are saying all potential employers, before they employ a teacher, it's important for them to verify with faith whether the person they intend to employ is fit and proper to become a teacher. And thus, with the legal resources we have, they can go into our website, check on the educator professional standing icon, punch in the educator's ID number or passport number, and information about the educator will pop up. If the educator is not in good standing, it would show. We should then allow the professional employer to verify or check with faith what has happened to the educator, why is he not employable, so that they don't gamble with the lives of children by employing people who are not on good standing. Chairperson, I want to indicate that on the question of the MOU with SAQWA, like we indicated in our presentation, it's a process matter. We are still engaging, and we're hoping, hopefully, during this financial year, we'll be able to conclude that. However, what is currently obtained is that SAQWA is of assistance to face in terms of meeting the requirement of every foreign teacher coming in to have that clearance, that certificate, evaluation certificate, but we'll be meeting with SAQWA. And I can simply indicate that one of the other aims of meeting with SAQWA, because we are aware SAQWA is responsible for qualifications in our country, the issue of verifying every teacher's qualification coming through to place for verification is going to be part of that MOU going forward and validation thereof. Chairperson, we want to indicate that on online registration, like the Honourable Member has raised, we are indicating that by the end of 2016, we've been informed by CITSA that the question of program development will be completed on online registration. All other documentation we've worked on, they're working on the development of the program, and we are hoping that come end of June 2016, we shall start it with the piloting. Our view currently is that we need to make sure that when we drive online registration, we are certain of any challenges that could be there. Our view is we want to start piloting it, probably in one of the two higher education institutions in the 4-year BS students, to see and get lessons that we'll be learning out of that process. Remember also, when we talk registration, it's important on our side that it links up with all other processes. Your CPTD, registration of teachers, they should be synergy between the two. So it's a kind of a process as a share. The meeting with the Department of Education, as the Honourable Member raised, there will be a headquarter meeting very soon. I think it's quite near. One of the things we'll be making a presentation is part of ethics issues, the challenges that I raised, would raise into all head of departments. However, out of that, we are intending to have bilateral meetings with individual heads of departments in provinces with their teams so that we're able to iron out the health challenges that could be. I can safely indicate that in the previous year, we managed to meet with the Northwest Education Department, KwaZulu-Natal Education Department, and I believe Gauteng Education Department. So that is a process ongoing of trying to meet with them on an individual basis to address those challenges. Chairperson, I am trying to get the statistics in terms of the number of cases that were reported, which ones are ahead of. Probably before the end of the session, we'll be able to provide them. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairman Morris.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first here respond to the two questions. One in terms of improvement of financial management, and the one in terms of why do we wait for a long time to talk about the increase of levies every 1-2%. I think the two are related. In terms of how this country has been operating since it started, they discussed today. And when you take a discussion, today in terms of living increase, can take you 1 year or two, sometimes 3 years, before you get consensus in terms of increase. And after you get that increase, it takes long for council to be ready to entertain that topic. So that has been happening, and it was so painful at some stage whereby we couldn't deliver even half of the mandatory funding some years because of the dynamics around the increase. So by now, I believe the council has shown that it has matured to pass such stages. That's why we indicated that now the council started with actions in terms of linking it to inflation, so that when the inflation is at 5%, obviously 5% increase will be factored in. They are taking a principled decision to say we shouldn't keep going back, because going backwards is not an easy process. To start engaging out will take you 2 years, which at that time the organization is suffering in terms of delivery. This proposal, giving you an example, came to council last year September to look on the revenue which is affected. But up to today, the assessment is still going on. Two councils dealt with the letter, but fruitfully so, because they are giving directions in terms of what to go and gather, so that when they come back, they are able to take a decision moving forward. So from now going forward, once the council has given an amount, it will be increased in terms of the inflation factors. So it won't be long for council to bring back this whole thing on the table. In terms of the reserve fund being zero, rule number 20, it is zero. Normally we put the reserve funds there for projected capital expenditure. Like, should the council take a decision in terms of implementing the other provincial services, that will become a capital which we cannot accumulate in 1 year. It may take us 2 years to accumulate, so that we're able to end that project. So currently, for the current financial year, zero, we have no capital expenditure, unless the council reaches an increase which will be effective in this financial year, then we'll adjust the budget accordingly to 11 pounds. In terms of operations, we're not allowed to keep any surplus. So if we keep surplus, we have to define that surplus that is aimed at something which can be approved by the accounting authority. In terms of the difference between membership and registration fee, registration fee you pay on registration. We are covering the registration-related costs and the balance off. The only difference is that foreigners pay a little bit more than South Africans, and the reason is that with foreigners, once they register here, next year is not here, or 2 years later, then the communication with wherever it is, because you use our registration, which will be still valid, to present somewhere, there will be correspondence which now pays them to spend money in terms of the correspondence to ensure that he gets assisted, because he seems to be, he is registered with us.
Provincial office.
So in terms of membership fee is it's a continuous payment by all those who are members of council for them to remain members. The moment you don't pay membership fee, in terms of how we manage our members, you don't pay the second month to suspend your membership, you become non-active, which means when we talk of active and leaving teachers, we don't count until we are sure what happens to you, whether you are dead or you have gone overseas. But we are non-active.
Electronic payments and provincial offices, when do you intend opening the other offices?
In terms of electronic payment, currently our system is such a way that we are using it for mostly private schools and private individuals. We are, so as it is, you allocate the number, the reference number, you pay, and you'll be able to pick up that reference number. So with private schools, it's either an individual. So what happens to individuals, they have to phone us so that we allocate a number to Mr. So-and-so, so that when he pays, we're able to pick up that number. But however, we realize there are many people who don't have to phone us, because they don't know that they have to phone us. The system has been developed, was tested 2 weeks back to start working this April. So we started working this April, whereby when people get into our website, they will be able to make payments, and the system will automatically generate a reference and will pick it up whose money is it. In terms of the provincial offices, we currently we have two. We are intending, with this review of funding the organization, included in that bigger scope is whether is the issue of provincial offices, which we intend to increase from 2 to 8. So within the coming 3 years, we will have had all of them. They will be there, provided the assessment of these two makes the council to decide that they can move forward. But the attitude is so positive that we have to have all 8 provincial offices in addition to the head office. So it's just a matter of funding. Immediately they decide on funding, which I believe the July Council will take a decision, they will be able to plan when can they start. But we do have a site plan immediately that within the financial year, first 3 will start. First 3 will second. Then the next year will settle the remaining 3. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I won't be long. Just a few more points from my side. And I don't know, Kevin, if you have any. Chair, I think the committee has raised some very critical questions, especially this quality of the foreign educators. And I will make sure I take this back to Council, because it looks, and I think you're right, Chair, we really need to increase our research budget, because it looks like more and more research is becoming important to the work that we are doing. And I think even education departments and the ministry look forward to what they have pronounced in a particular manner. So I will take that very strongly back to Council to see if indeed these foreign educators are helping the country, helping education system, or they're becoming a liability. And this really strikes me as a very critical matter of research to find out, and then to see what is the competency of these foreign educators that are coming in, because they have got good qualifications, but we don't know about the competency, the ability to act in our environment. So it's a matter that I will be insisting that our research department takes over. And also the question about private schools and SGB posts, we're not quite sure about how kosher those teachers are in those posts, because that is a bit of a grey area where you would find that teachers will slip in, and maybe even teachers who have been stuck off the roll. We can report now and again that teachers who have been stuck off the roll have surfaced in other provinces. So these are serious matters that we have to do on the ground research. And I think Ella has a point in that besides monitoring the service providers, I think the same unit can have an extended role of checking on these things. The second thing is vetting and verification. It is our intention to make sure that every qualification is verified eventually. It will take us a few years for all of the practicing educators, but definitely the new ones we want to do as we get them on board. And also to vet each and every teacher to make sure that they are not on the child protection register. Now the sexual offences register, Chair, is giving us a bit of a challenge. And that is one that we are still trying to crack, and the department is assisting us to see in what way we can access that register. Because there is legislation around access to that register and interacting with it. There are cases, the honourable member is right, that are swept under the carpet. You're quite right. And we know about it. But, I mean, we can only act on cases on the basis of information that we get. And the council now has taken a new position that we must review all of those cases that have been closed in the past year because of witnesses running away. We find that there is a way to the Department of Social Development. The social development would be able, and we are now, we have reopened all those cases, and we actually are prosecuting some of those accused. And by the way, the first time around, because the witnesses disappeared or didn't want to come by. But because of that, we are managing, and I hope that message goes around as well. Then, Chair, the question of reporting fraudulent cases or people that have been stuck off the roll. Now, we do report to the South African Police Services where educators are found to have fraudulent qualifications. In fact, one or two educators are still sitting in jail today, besides being stuck off from the roll. Having taught fraudulent qualification, and the surprising thing is you'd be saying that some of them are good teachers, but that's another point, teaching unlawfully. So we do report as a routine, even the cases where you find that children have been molested, we report that to the South African Police Services, and we stand as witnesses. The council has taken a decision now that we must follow up each one of those reported cases to make sure that action has been taken. Previously, we used to just send them over,
and then hope that action will be taken. Then, Chair, we come to the question of the backlog of cases. And why is Linda trying to find the steps? I don't think you can get either, but just to declare to the committee that on the average of say 600 to 700 cases a year that we've been handling, you find that about 20-25% gets carried over. Now, this is far better than it used to be. Previously, we had capacity problems and so on. But now, with the increased pool of panelists and investigators, we have even appointed extra investigators, this kind of percentage will remain. That backlog will remain. It's a routine backlog because the last council needs to have a look at it before it is finalized. So it will stay, and then some of those cases are incomplete. So you find, for example, in the last quarter, a lot of cases come in, and they are not finalized, although we try very hard to finalize it within a three-month period. But one of those days where you find cases that are being held over for years and years, you won't get the one or two exceptional cases that would still be stuck because of some legal impediment. But now that is more of an exception. Then, Chair, the question of seven-day follow-up, we are sorry. If there are still educators, and I do get on my email sometimes educators, I was dealing with one this week, where educators have been waiting for a long time, and we must spread the message that the office of the CEO is available over and above the office of the registration section, where you find that registrations are being delayed. There have been other reasons, but we don't want to make excuses. We've had industrial action lately. There have been post office delays in terms of those forms coming to our offices. But the bottom line is that the CEO is accountable for each registration, and I think it will be no problem that the office of the CEO is contacted to facilitate a quicker turnaround time where people are being held up unnecessarily. Once or twice there are good reasons for registration being delayed, because, for example, people declare that they have rather had proceedings against them. So a few registrations have to be delayed, or the vetting process is not yielding a positive result. Lastly, Chair, I want to apologize for the poor stapling. I thought it was only my copy, because I told them to give it to me in a hurry. I need to study it before I get to the portfolio committee, but I see it under everybody's copy. We are very sorry about that. Thank you, Chair. I don't know, Kaylin, if you have anything else to add.
Just to say, on the actual the cases like you raised, where the case sort of seems to be swept under the carpet, we don't actually close those cases. But what we actually are doing, and we're taking legal opinion within our act now, we've raised those sort of concerns because we as one of the working committees of SAS went through and said, yes, these are loopholes that teachers are getting away with. And at the stage now, we're actually getting legal opinion on closing those loopholes because we're very aware of if I don't offer you money, you're quickly going to drop the case. We don't close the case, but in our act now, we can't only say if you're found guilty. That is at quite an advanced stage. I know our November Council has now taken wording now for legal opinion, and I'm sure in the very near future we'll be able to present those sort of changes.
Thank you. Are there any follow-ups on the issues raised or new measures? One that you would like to discuss the spelling word that you have done, since I think you must go back and implement what you have presented. We want to see a better output compared to the previous years. Good luck.
Thank you, Chair. The honourable members.
The meeting is adjourned.